Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts gathered here this morning be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, how many of you would like to go back to middle school? How many of you in middle school would repeat it a few more years? A few more times? Not many. You know, actually, many people moved to Dexter for our middle school because it is ranked very high in the state, but really, would you want to go back? No, you didn't want to. Well, the middle school mantra for Safe Passage is this: don't stand out, don't be too different, put your head down and look like everyone else. Don't let your mom make you wear anything so yesterday or carry a lunch bag or a backpack that's not totally cool. You see, the middle school brain is unique, and during this time of life, the front part of the brain that controls the emotion and logic is getting a surge of hormones that really just interrupts this control center. As we explore this next section of the story, we find the people of God stuck in middle school. Today, we start the story with the last judge in Israel, Samuel. And you can find the whole story part in 1 Samuel verses 1, chapters 1 through 15. So, before we get into the story, I want to do what I had a middle school teacher do, and she'd have us sit down with milk and cookies or donuts and meet the characters. So we are going to meet the characters this morning before we jump into the story. Our first character is Eli. Eli is the high priest at this time and a spokesperson for God to the people of Israel. Our second character is Samuel. He is the prayed-for child of Hannah, given back to God then when he is old enough, and he is our last judge in Israel. Our fourth character is a collective. It is Israel. And they are the people, the descendants of Abraham, whom God led to this promised land that he had said he would give them, and now they are in Canaan. And they have been living in the land under the kingship of God with judges acting as the spokesperson also. Our fourth character in the story is Saul. And he is the very first king in Israel. Now you have a job this morning as we review this story. Pay attention to whom the characters are listening. You ready? Up until this point in Israel's journey, the people of God are ruled under a theocracy, which is just a fancy way to say that God is their king. God promised to care and protect them with really one requirement: follow me only. But as we have seen in our trip through Judges, the people did not follow God, especially God only. Yet, near the end of this pattern of leave God, remember Matt did that, leave God, repent, follow God, over and over. God raises up a leader now, much like Moses. The story of Samuel's nativity is miraculous. His mother, Hannah, is barren, and she prays for a child. Now, this should give us pause that something important is about to happen in the following story. More specifically, that God is up to something. We have seen this in our journey in the story before. Isaac, Jacob and Esau, Joseph are all children born after someone prayed that the barren womb of their mothers would be opened. Moses is saved from a death sentence at birth. And Samson is born of an old, barren woman. We will not hear of a miraculous birth again until the New Testament with John the Baptist and his cousin Jesus. So here we have it, a story clue that God is up to something. Now, I have known this narrative of Samuel's birth for as long as I can remember. And as I read the story in the Bible again, I wondered, why? Why am I reading this story again? I could tell it by heart already. But there it was. Brand new to me in this reading, this phrase, the word of the Lord. It just jumped off the page in the first three chapters. God is up to something. He is up to bringing the word of the Lord. So here we have it in the Bible. Hannah has had Samuel. And every year the Bible tells us Elkanah and Hannah went up to the temple to worship and have sacrifice. And Elkanah is ready to go again, and Hannah says, wait, I don't want to go until we take Samuel and leave him and give him back to God. And Elkanah, this godly, God-fearing man, said, do what seems right to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. Just a little bit further, at the end of chapter 1, Hannah does take Samuel to the temple. He is old enough, and she leaves him there with Eli. And in chapter 2, she says a long prayer. And then we enter a section in chapter 2 where it compares Eli's sons and Samuel. And Eli's sons are called to be wicked. In verse 17 of chapter 2, it says, thus the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord. Very great. And then, just a few verses down, we see in verse 21, and the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Then we hear again that the sons were being wicked and doing evil things. And then in verse 26, now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and favor with the Lord and with people. Which, by the way, reminds me of a verse in Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and people. The word of the Lord is with Samuel. And then we hear that a man of God came to Eli, and he tells Eli what is going on, and he says right here, it just jumped off the page to me too, in verse 29, said, the man of God said to Eli, you honor your sons more than me. Meaning God. In the beginning of chapter 3, we had it in our reading this morning. It said that the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And visions were not widespread. Eli honored his sons more than, and the word of the Lord was rare. Following this, we have the segment with the story of Samuel that we have all heard if we've been to Sunday school before. And the voice came to Samuel, calling him in the night. And he ran. He was sure it was Eli, who was old and couldn't see. And he said, I'm here, I'm here. He said, no, I didn't call you. Go lay down. And here again, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel gets up to help Eli. And Eli says, no, I didn't call you. go lay down. A third, and then it says in the Bible right there that Samuel had not heard the word of the Lord, and that he did not know it yet. And then again his name was called Samuel. Samuel. And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you've called me." And finally, Eli said, "Oh, it must be God." He told Samuel, "Go lay back down. And when you hear the voice, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And God did call again. And Samuel did say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And then God gave Samuel a message about Eli and his sons. And he said, his sons will go into battle, and they will take the ark of God into battle, and it will be taken captive. And the sons will die, and Eli will die when he learns of all that has happened. And in there, the words that God told Samuel to share with Eli: "For I have told Eli that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them." And from then on, we hear these things. Then Samuel did tell Eli, and Eli knew and accepted the word of the Lord. And Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him, it says in verse 19, and none of his words fell to the ground. And all of Israel from Dan, that's the furthest north, to Beersheba, which is the furthest south in the kingdom, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Samuel received the word of the Lord, and he asked for God to speak to him. And so all that God said would happen to Eli's family happened. And Samuel was the judge in the land. And the people came to Samuel and said, "Samuel, please ask God," because the Philistines were really giving them a beating. "Please ask God to save us," and cry out to him, and Samuel did. And they had peace from the Philistines. Now, Samuel grew old, and the people were a little nervous about what was happening. He's getting old, and look at that kingdom, and look at that kingdom, and that kingdom, and that kingdom. We have old Samuel, and they have a king. They have a king. I want to be like them. And so they came to Samuel and they said, "Give us a king. Everybody else has a king. We want a king." And this angered Samuel. And he prayed to God. And God said, "It's okay, Samuel. They are not rejecting you. They are rejecting me. But it's okay. I will give them a king. And I will show you who." And God showed Samuel who, and that's another fun story I can't tell you today, but he found Saul. And Saul, the Bible says, stood a head and shoulders above everyone. That's pretty tall. And at his coronation, Samuel made it very clear that this is your king, and as long as your king listens to the word of the Lord and to the words that of the Lord that come through his prophets, the kingdom will prosper. As long as the king listens to the word of the Lord. Well, Saul started out pretty well. He had some really great victories in battle, and it said the Spirit of the Lord was upon Saul. But then one time Samuel said, before we're going into battle, Saul, wait for me. It's kind of hard to wait, isn't it? Wait for me. And we will offer a sacrifice to God on the altar before you go into battle. Samuel was delayed, or at least delayed in the eyes of Saul. And the troops were getting restless, and men started leaving camp. And Saul said, well, Samuel's not here. I'm just going to have to take things into my own hands. And he offered the sacrifices and led the worship. And as Samuel made his way up the path, he smelled the fire. And when he saw Saul, he said, what have you done? What have you done? And the Bible says this is the beginning of the end for Saul. From that point on, he continued to do what was right in his eyes and follow what he thought was best. And the Spirit of God left him. Now Samuel is really old, and God tells him to do one more thing. He said, Saul's line will not continue. My spirit has left him. But I want you to go anoint somebody to be king who is a man after my own heart. And God took Samuel to David, who was the youngest son of Jesse, who was the son of Obed, who was the son of Ruth and Boaz from our story last week. So let's review our story. Who were the characters listening to? Okay, let's have our pictures back up. Who was Eli listening to? His sons. Okay, who was Samuel listening to? Word of God. He was listening to God. Who was Israel listening to? They listened to Samuel for a while, right? And then who did they listen to? They wanted to be like everyone else. They were listening to the crowds and the nations. And what about Saul? Who was Saul listening to? He is listening to himself in the end. Well, this reminds me of a story told by Max Lucado. There once was a village full of small wooden people called Wemics. And they were all made and hand-carved by the wood carver Eli, who lived up on the hill in a workshop. Now, the Wemics, some were short, and some were tall, and some had big eyes, and others had long noses, and some wore hats, and others had coats. But they were all made by the same wood carver. Now, the Wemics did the same thing all day, every day. They put stickers on one another. They had two boxes. One box of stickers was filled with gold stars, and the other was filled with gray dots. Now, the Wemics, who had smooth wood and lovely paint, they would get gold stars. But the Wemics, who had rough wood and their paint was chipped, oh, those were given gray dots. Now, some of the Wemics were quite talented, and they could jump high or leap over boxes or do a dance or sing a tune. And they would get gold stars. And when they did, it made them feel so good, they tried to think of other things they could do to get more gold stars. But for those who were less talented, they got great odds. Punchinello was one of those. When he would try to jump high in the air, he'd come down crashing to the ground, and the Wemix would gather around and give him gray dots. You know, when you fall, you can scuff your wood and chip your paint, and they would give him more gray dots. And then when he would try to explain why he fell, something silly would come out, and they would give him more gray dots. Well, Punchinello didn't feel very good about himself, and he didn't like having all those gray dots. In fact, he didn't even want to go outside most days. And when he did, sometimes people would just give him dots because he had so many. Sometimes he'd hang out with other Wemix who had a lot of gray dots, and then he didn't feel so bad. Then one day, he met someone like he had never seen before. Her name was Lucia, and she didn't have any stickers on her. It's not that nobody gave them to her. Some would walk up and say, "Oh, she doesn't have any stickers. Let's give her a gold star." But it would fall right off. And others would come up to her and look down on her like, "You do not have any stickers." And they'd give her a gray dot. And it would just fall right off. Punchinello thought, "I want to be like that. I don't want any stickers on me." And so he asked her, "Lucia, how do you do that? Why don't the stickers stick to you?" She said, "It's easy. I see Eli." "Who?" "Eli, the woodcarver at the top of the hill in the woodshop." "Why don't you go see him? He'll tell you." And to that, Lucia turned and skipped away. And Punchinello called after, "But will he want to see me?" But she didn't hear. Punchinello went back to his room and looked out the window, and he just saw the Wemix giving everyone stars and dots, and he said, "That's just not right." And he decided he would go see Eli. So the next day, he made his way up the path to the woodworker's shop. And he walked in the door, and his eyes got big at the size of everything, for the stool was as tall as he was. And he couldn't see the top of the workbench unless he stood up on his tippy toes. And there was a hammer as long as his arm. "I'm getting out of here," he thought. And he turned to go, and he heard, "Punchinello? Is that you? Come, I want to see you." Punchinello said, "How do you know my name?" "Well, I made you. I know who you are." And Punchinello looked up, and there was a very large man with a bearded face and big arms. And he stooped down, and he lifted Punchinello up and set him on the workbench. Said Eli, "Looks like you've been given some bad marks." "Well, I didn't mean to. I mean, I really tried." And Eli said, "Oh, I don't care about those." "You don't?" Punchinello asked. "No, those were given to you by Wemix. They're just like you. I don't care what they think. I made you, and I think you're special." Punchinello, "Me special? I can't do anything. I can't jump, I fall, I say silly things." And Eli turned, And he put his hands on the small shoulders of Punchinello and looked him in the eye and said, "You are special because you are mine. I was hoping you would come," Eli said. "I've been waiting for you." Punchinello said, "Well, I came because I met another Wemmick who didn't have any stickers, and I wanted to find out how." He said, "I know. She told me about you." Then Eli said, "Punchinello, the stickers only stick because they matter to you. They don't matter to her. You see, she comes and sees me every day. And she thinks what I think of her is more important than what anybody else thinks." Punchinello was trying to understand. "I'm not sure I quite do," he said. I said, "That's okay. For now, you just come back every day and see me. And I will remind you every day how much you mean to me and how special you are." And at that, Eli took Punchinello and placed him on the ground. And Punchinello made his way to the door as Eli said, "Remember, you are special because I made you and I don't make mistakes." And Punchinello thought in his heart, "I think he means it." And at that moment, a gray dot fell off. Who we listen to makes a difference. Listening to our Maker brings joy and life. And our Maker is the Word. Listen. John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. He is the Creator, and without him, not one thing came into being." Who will you listen to? Will you leave middle school ways and stop worrying about what others are doing, what others are saying? Will you stop serving your own desires or honor other people more than God? What matters most is hearing the word of the Lord. The only story that ends well, where the character is still standing in the end, is the one in which the character listens to their Maker every day. May you come into the presence of the Lord this Thanksgiving and Advent season and say, "Speak, for your servant is listening, so that you may have light and life." Let us pray. Our God, thank you for your word. Thank you for letting us have it. Open our hearts that we may hear. Amen.